Welcome to The Lonely Marketer, sponsored by Pager. My name is Glenn Southam, and this is your show for all things recruitment marketing. We share the challenges, the successes, advice, and the screw-ups from the leading marketing talent working in recruitment. And most importantly, find out what their favourite swear word is. We speak to the companies working to make marketing recruitment more effective and efficient, and to those people who have opinions that make you think about things a little bit differently. You can find me on LinkedIn, and if you want to follow the bear, then head over to thelonelymarketers.com for links to all of our social channels and to sign up for our newsletter. But now, it's time for the show. Let's do this.
Just to set the scene for today and the session, we're going to be really focusing on four things looking ahead to setting up your marketing for 2022. Got no slides, got nothing like that. It's very fireside chat. Myself and the three panelists, we had a very brief chat yesterday morning, but we like these things to flow. We like to see how the conversations are going to go. Pop your questions in into the chat, and we'll try to be quite reactive. All three of them kind of know my style when it comes to this, so it should be quite an interactive and free-flowing session. But we're going to look at process, we're going to look at content, we're going to look at kind of tracking and ROI, and we're also going to look at people, so hiring strategies and things like that. Yeah, Paul, I think we can leave the background jokes now. Yeah, Paul, thanks. But I think let's get started. Chelsea, go kind of start with you. The Levin Group is a hyper-growth recruitment group, to say the very least. What's the stat in terms of the growth from kind of when you joined?
Yeah, so I joined in August last year, and I was employee number 13, and we're now, 14, 15 months later, and we're now 275 people. Yeah. We've got another 150 joining in February, and should have another 150 or even a bit more than that actually joining in September, November time as well next year.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say that's quite a unique situation, but I think, you know, you joined as, in all fairness, a relatively inexperienced marketer. You had a couple of years in a smaller recruitment firm, but over that period of time, that hyper growth, I know, you know, storm work across various disciplines of, yeah, you know, of tech and of, yeah, life sciences, et cetera, renewables and things like that. What processes have you had to put in place to deal with kind of the growth? And most recruitment companies are in the growth phases at the moment. What are those kind of processes and activities and things that you've had to put in place to maximize kind of resources in your time, really?
Yeah, I mean, all of them is the answer to that, literally. The business, when I joined, it was only a year old. So, and I was the first marketing person. They did a great job of sort of the odd piece of content here and there, and a website, there was a website. but really, when I joined, it was very much nothing in place, really. Nothing from a marketing stack, like proper marketing mindset, if that makes sense. It was there because it needed to be there. It was very much like checkbox activities. And yeah, now we're still, you know, we're growing so fast so quickly that there's still, almost on a monthly basis, we come across something that we need to fix immediately and put a process in place very quickly, rather than it be something that we can kind of think about too much before we can really dive into it. It means you also don't really get very comfortable for too long before it changes again. But yeah, I think just actually tracking everything has been super important. That literally didn't exist beforehand. We didn't have any, like, the Google Analytics account wasn't set up to that at all. Everything was very manual. So even though we're on Bullhorn, you know, leads and things like that, knowing if they came through the website, knowing if any candidates came through the website, anything like that, it was still extremely manual of forwarding on emails that came into things. So just, I mean, jumping on from the back of the automation chat, you know, that has been what we're starting to do now, only a year into having sort of a marketing function, but really, really important.
I think, you know, to focus on, and it's been touched upon in a previous sessions, but not a huge amount. And it's, you know, it's hugely relevant for you, but I know it is for for both Chris and Helena as well, considering the companies they're in. What about your kind of your role or marketing's role in terms of attracting consultants, graduates or all levels? You know, how's that planning out, or in terms of moving forward for next year? How involved is marketing, or is it split, or you know, are you quite involved in that? And you know, the majority of recruitment businesses, their biggest challenge at the moment, as well as trying to find candidates for roles, it is growth internally. So what plans have you got in kind of for 2022 in terms of helping to attract people to join Levin Group?
The employer branding side is going to be huge over the next year, to be honest. I'm actually looking to hire someone purely just to do that side of things, because obviously with our growth plans across globally as well, it's not just in London. This isn't going to be probably the biggest area of growth over the next year. We're probably going to be more looking at some of our other offices. So it's one thing launching in London and trying to attract grads where you've got a whole load of grads already who can do a lot of sort of internal referral side of things. It's another thing when you're launching into another country where you don't have any presence from an employer standpoint. Mm-hmm. That is probably the biggest kind of interesting part of the next it's not just, because if we're hiring for February, pretty much everything needs to be done by December. So
what is everything for you?
A lot of people. From a marketing standpoint, we've sort of put some partnerships in place with kind of talking to colleges and things like that. We're trying to get some of our success stories of some of the people who have progressed very quickly in the last 2 years, you know, putting them out there. It's the profile raising side of things, and also sort of humanizing it and realizing that it's not just a pipe dream that we're trying to sell. I think that's one of the hardest things. I mean I don't know how they did it for the first cohort that started when it didn't exist as a business, because we launched Levin Group launched in 2019, so I don't know how they managed to get that first group. Yeah. you're joining a startup with like just a dream. Amazing, a lot more put in place at the moment. Over the next few months, it's actually more looking ahead to that September cohort that we're going to be attracting, because realistically, you know, as I said, everything's pretty much done for February time. Already. Yeah. TikTok probably.
And Christina mentioned that earlier in the show. Chris, I know Charlton Morris have, you know, this week just hit 100 heads in your business as well. Yeah. What's in place from a marketing point of view to help recruitment businesses grow there?
I mean, from us, it's all part of the whole like holistic like strategy in terms of adding revenue. And I think, like, you know, for me, adding people to the team is one of the best ways and easiest ways that you can add revenue. And you know, if we can put something really engaging out there and do some really interesting campaigns that brings in a 250 grand biller, then you know, it might take a little while to get to that point through doing it through any of the other strategies.
It's probably a little bit of a forgotten strand of ROI, isn't it, from a marketing perspective?
But it's massive. Like, it's, you know, that's why it's why recruitment companies have I think we're moving away from it now, but it's why recruitment companies have always grown by adding heads.
Yeah.
Because they want to add revenue, and that's how they want to increase things. But we use, you know, we use paid ads. We've just launched a few campaigns today, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, those sorts of things, to try and attract talent and have a very different tone of voice, I think, to the corporate side.
That's interesting, spending money on paid stuff. What about you, Helena, in terms of employer branding, before we move on to kind of the next part?
Yeah, it's a really big part of mine and my team's work, actually. So, we just hit 200 last week, and I joined the company at the end of April, and we were about 125. So it has been not quite as high as Chelsea's growth, but there has been quite a lot of growth, and we've got quite a lot of ambitions. And similarly to what Chelsea was saying, a lot of our growth over the next 1 to 2 years is actually going to come from US and DAC as opposed to the UK business, and we just don't have a stronger brand there. The other thing that we've got is that we're going our EVP piece, we're trying to go under the Trinovo brand. We want people to work for Trinovo, and they obviously service their clients under their brand, but we're kind of one one company, one shared mission, one, you know, we've got shared impact metrics, etc. So it's actually trying to push that through alongside the brands as well. So but it's a huge part of what we're doing. And you know, with lots of things, we've just launched a Chernobyl Talks podcast, talking to some of our, you know, high achievers and people that have moved to the States and things like that, you know, about their journeys, etc. Lots of different things going on. And our talent team are great at kind of coming up with ideas for all of that as well.
It's quite, so, quite a collaborative approach between kind of your team and the talent team.
Yeah, definitely. Mm.
Cool. Next thing kind of I wanted to go on to looking towards 2022, because I do, you know, I do sense this shift in terms of how marketing's perceived, certainly during the whole pandemic period, this shift to seeing it a lot more kind of central to revenue generation, etc. And I think that's demonstrated, Chris, kind of by your role change, to be honest. You know, ultimately you're a marketer by trade, I'd say initially, but now it's now you are kind of involved in revenue operations, if you like. And although I can imagine marketing's still central and you always got a marketing bias to your approach, you are beginning or you do look at the whole kind of ecosystem of what's happening within the business and trying to understand how that's going to impact, if you like, on revenue and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that it started for me, like when I started our marketing function here, and was originally actually recruiter by trade, then turned marketer, then turned whatever I am now. But I think that it's about like, to do like the RevOps thing is, for me, it's a natural progression, because I think when you're in a sort of smallish business as we were then, before we got to where we are now, it's, you've got to tie everything together, because if you want to be impactful in marketing, you know, you want to be reporting on your marketing, you've got to be able to report on it. You've got to be able to know what results you can get, which means that you've almost got to, like, to be able to say you're having an impact, you need to know how that impact is recorded, which usually means knowing your CRM inside out, because that's what everything needs to go through. Like the analogy that I've sort of used in the past is like, if what I think a lot of marketers do or can do, or like particularly like solo people, is a bit of advice, like, is you sort of get in, you get stuck in your market and you market for market's sake almost. But that's a bit like, it's a bit like going for a run and hoping to get a PB, but not timing it, you know, and just sort of being like, and everyone around you sort of might go, oh, you ran really fast then, that's good, well done. But like, you don't have the sort of qualification for it.
A lot of businesses don't have this in place. You know, this comes up with conversation in the community quite a bit around ROI, et cetera, et cetera. To be honest, you're quite like, well, it's tracking bullhorn. You know, but it's because there's been a lot of work in, you know, previous months and years that have been able you to get that in place, to be able to do it. And I think if people are looking forward to 2022 in terms of being able, and if you can hear a screaming kid in the background, that's my daughter. I can't do anything about it, sorry. She's fine she's tied down, what steps, if people say, look, 2022 for me as a marketer is to be able to, you know, really show return on investment, what do marketers need to start thinking about doing now in terms of getting that in place to, you know, to get that tracking in place? And, you know, I'll pass this around the screen after you've answered.
Yeah, for me, the first thing you do is you speak to your recruiters, you understand the process, you understand how they track revenue, how they're measured, and then you work out a way in which you can get involved in that. And then I think the next thing that you do is you, unfortunately, have to work with either your ops team, or you do it yourself, or your IT, or whoever manages it, and get stuck into the CRM and make sure that all of your ways that you can track things, your sources of candidates, your sources of leads, opportunities, vacancies, revenue, everything, that there's room there for marketing. And that then it becomes a way, then it becomes obviously the techie side linking everything up, which I think is a separate thing entirely. But for me, particularly if we're speaking to like smaller businesses, which again is what we traditionally always were, then it becomes much more about like training and facilitating and getting your recruiters to use the marketing and then put that into CRM and then attribute everything to it. Because like recruiters make you relevant because they're the ones who build the money. But at the same time, you've got the power with your skill set, which they don't have, which is being creative, which is being a marketer, which can elevate them above their peers. So I think it has to be like symbiotic, but you've got to start with that CRM piece and the
should marketing own the CRM?
RevOps should.
Not everyone's got RevOps. Not everyone's as lucky as you, Chris.
But somewhere in the middle, they should certainly have a hand in it. It shouldn't be owned by IT, I don't think. Mm-hmm. It should be something that's closer to the day-to-day in the business. Because it's not just a thing that should be fixed. It's something that needs to evolve.
Yeah. What about, Helena, kind of you know, you've gone into a business, everyone's relatively new in their business. How's that kind of that tracking and the ROI going for you? And I assume, you know, you've had a few months of getting to understand what's happening. And I can imagine you're in that, right, for 2022, this is what we need to do, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, exactly. So the honest answer is there wasn't really much tracking when I started. We do use Bullhorn, we do use Cube 19. So that obviously, you know, the information is there. It's just making sure it's, you know, accurate and actually being used. We also have, we're just going through a migration now to move our three different instances of Bullhorn into one, because the three brands had their own. So that makes it quite complicated to do some of the tracking as well. So, and it's been quite good because that project actually started just when I started. It was the same week. So I've been able to actually use the opportunity to put new fields in and just tweak how we're tracking things and at what point we're tracking things, etc. So when we move over in January, that's all going to be set up, ready to go. So I'm hopeful that we'll have much more accurate tracking and reporting capabilities from Jan, so I can actually get proper data next year. But at the moment it's been a little bit finger in the air, and like one brand does it in one way and one brand uses it in another way. We weren't tracking anybody that was coming to any of our webinars and, you know, all of that kind of thing. So we've made some gains this year, but I think the real gains will come next year with the new system.
Same with you, Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of lucky in a way that all the marketing's team's targets are entirely revenue based. So I think the first thing that is super important is to understand what that actually looks like in terms of what you are responsible for. Is it new business or is it, you know, does candidate acquisition count as return investment? For us, for the first year, it didn't. It was purely on the client side of things. I think then, because of the fact that was my entire target for my first year in the business, it was kind of looking at how, in a weird way, because we were such a new business, we were also kind of in competition with the consultants from a marketing standpoint. You were kind of trying to bring in, like, because you had to be allocated to marketing. When we first sat down a year ago with my leadership team, it was, these are the five ways that can count towards marketing. Now it's obviously changed a lot and it's become a lot more nuanced than that. But it's kind of really understanding what your areas of responsibility are and actually where you can bring in those leads from, the marketing qualified leads, and how you track them back. I think for us, it's just been very manual up until now. It's only been able to start being a bit more sophisticated as we kind of grow, and we can kind of say, okay, we'll put some budget behind this, becoming a lot more
a little bit process, sure. I think, cool. Yeah. I think I want to try and now dig into a little bit of kind of activity and tactics looking forward to kind of 2022. And again, if we probably start with you, Helena, here, and then go to you, Chris. Is, you know, I know when you joined Trinovo, Helena, you identified that you wanted to kind of build out the digital team and the commercial team, so supporting sales in the bids and tenders. But that it's a little bit boring. Let's leave that to one side. On the digital side,
don't tell Mike that, who I've hired to do that role.
on the digital side of things, what do you know? what, because let's be honest, like all of the Trenovo brands, they were quite active, good content, there were events and everything going on, but how are you taking that to the next level in 2022? Is there new stuff, new tactics, new technologies that you're going to be trying to to put in place?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, first, it's not very revolutionary at all, really, but we're redoing the website. So although that's, you know, wow, how revolutionary, but they absolutely need doing. They just don't perform at all. So at the moment, they're really old. So I kind of feel
just for people, who might be watching, you've come to that conclusion that the websites don't perform. How did you come to that conclusion?
So it was actually, even before I started, I came to that conclusion because when I was sort of researching the company after they approached me, and then I was preparing to present to my fellow board members for the role, I did a website analysis and just looking, you know, just running them through, you know, Screaming Frog, looking at SEMrush, etc. You could just see that, you know, organic traffic was, you know, non-existent, basically. Conversions are painfully low, you know, all of these sorts of key metrics, really. So it's using your, you know, your Google Analytics and your metrics to see what's going on, trying to figure out why that's happening. Mm-hmm. So there were lots of even very basic things like loads of broken links and, you know, things weren't very easy to find, all that kind of stuff. So I didn't want to spend, and because the sites are old, and I knew that one of the projects that I'd be starting is kind of redoing them. I didn't want to spend lots of time and resource and money, you know, redoing what we had, but we had to make some quick wins. So that was one of the first things we did, is just, you know, do the quick wins, then, you know, start the new project. So that's just getting underway now. But that's really important. But we've just onboarded with Force 24 mm-hmm. for the email comms and automation. So again, not that revolutionary, but super important. We had no way of actually communicating with our candidates and clients on Bullhorn or kind of promoting our event through that source, etc. So yes, we were running events and webinars. Our attendance was pretty low. We weren't really being able to tell anybody that we're already engaged with, that we're running them, and to get them involved, etc. So there's lots of good bits that have been going on, but it hasn't really been done to
joining it together.
Those tools.
Yeah, I think that's probably where a lot of kind of recruitment marketing falls down. Is I think generally as a whole, as marketers, we're good at doing a lot of things, you know, more often than not, we are spinning plates. You only have to look at recruitment. You only have to look at marketing job descriptions that pop out for recruitment. It's just a list of every task and every, you know, every skill under the sun. And yeah. I think the skill is identifying what's going to have the most impact, and then being able to kind of mold it together. I think, Chris, moving on, you know, in terms of content, and I'm not saying this just because you're here, I think that there are very few kind of recruitment businesses who went, you know, so deep into kind of content in your sectors in terms of the volume of content, the type of content, et cetera, et cetera. Is that, as your business grows, is that still feasible? To keep up at that level?
Yeah. I think so. I think that in terms of that level, in terms of being consistent with it, I think the nature of how niche the content we do is and the volume that we've previously done is that if we want to maintain it at a rate per head, then it'd be a case of having to add to the team and have more people to do that, which, you know, I've recently grown my team, brought in Alex, who's brilliant, who is handling solely that content function. Like, we have now sort of, we're in a very similar position to Helena when we're looking ahead, in the sense that we want to like bring everything together a little bit more as well. I sort of class it as like outbound and inbound content, which I'm sure is like swearing for the HubSpot fans out there, because everything's inbound in it. But like, we have the outbound stuff, which is where we create that super niche content in collaboration with and on behalf of the consultants under their name. They push it out. We work with them. They do individual campaigns for every piece that goes out. But then alongside that, now what we're doing is trying to use often existing content, but grouping that together in sort of more of that hero pieces, and then creating inbound strategies and building pipelines and automations and everything that will start to nurture that and bring in more, you know, inbound leads. So like splitting it up in that way, which is like, I fundamentally see like marketing as like the thing that can break that link between revenue growth and headcount growth in recruitment agencies. And I think that it's through stuff like
that. Rather than basing £10,000 a month per head you get, it's kind of, look, marketing generates this amount of potential revenue. Yeah.
Or go the other way and say for every marketer, you can add 50 grand a month per head because they've got the hands on the big tools that can send things en masse, that can write really well. And then the recruiters, you know, in a perfect world, will be sat there just waiting to have stuff handed off to them, which, you know, we are by no means there, but that's what I'd like to get to a point of in the next few years. And I think content really is key to that because it builds trust, and trust builds bigger deals. It builds bigger relationships, bigger fees, bigger, like, you know, just partnerships with clients, which is ultimately what you want to do to create a business.
Is there an evolution of content that you're seeing? I think if I look at the way recruitment businesses have evolved their content, and I genuinely hope this continues, you know, into 2022, the kind of content collaboration seems to be a big thing, and, you know, proper user generated content, which you might know in like the tech world, but I suppose it's kind of our candidates and clients generated content in the recruitment world. Do you think there's a shift, or there should be an uptick in that type of content, rather than us in terms of recruitment businesses just, you know, preaching and putting out the standard messages all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but LinkedIn have recently brought out a poll feature.
Never seen one.
which is, I think, quite a good example of people losing their minds about that and absolutely loving it. You know, I think, and that's obviously a very easy way to do it. But yeah, completely. Like, I think with the size of networks and databases and whatever you want to call them that recruitment companies have, like, that's such a huge source of information. But again, I think where the CRM ownership and everything like that comes into it is that you've got to have good data to be able to segment, to ask the right questions to the right people. Otherwise, you're going to damage the relationships and reduce trust, which again comes right back to being taking ownership of that. But yeah, I think that's massive. And I think the thing that we are going to see is like, or the thing that we're certainly trying to focus on is like, as everyone catches up or everyone starts doing more content, is trying to like elevate those production values of the stuff that you do to really be like not just good for recruitment but brilliant, you know, and compete and invest and get that side of it, because I think people are caring about that more and more, which can then feed more into other services you can offer, you know, things like employer branding and helping with clients and all that side of it.
Yeah, I you know, from my perspective, just to chip in now, I think I can't remember who was mentioning it, but the increase in, I think it was kind of, might have been Kat and James actually, talking about kind of a lot of marketing departments within recruitment businesses ending up being, you know, kind of outsourced marketing functions for clients and doing more and more stuff for clients, especially in the rise of productization, if you like, of a lot of recruitment services. And I think, again, if we get in those conversations and we know that these things are kind of being proposed by boards or the sales teams, is that's again, it puts us as marketers in that, you know, higher level in terms of importance in integrity and being able to, you know, add real value, a proper you know, demonstrate it, you know, at far more levels than, you know, sitting in the background we've previously done. Chelsea, obviously, I think the way you've kind of approached content probably since you've been there, and because of the nature of the business, you've been very, very focused on kind of brand awareness, frequency stuff, you know, pushing out a lot of content, if you like, over a period of time. Although you're carrying on that growth, as you're more established and, you know, you've got your audiences now, is there a shift in kind of your and your team's approach to activity around content, you know, looking forward to 2022?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're right. We've been very sort of brand awareness focused on the first, you know, we're 2 years old. We kind of needed to get our name out there for the first kind of bit there. But yeah, now it's more of a case of actually like really deep diving into our audiences and actually understanding how to add value to them. I think that's just the switch up there. We're still doing, you know, the same frequency. We're still posting a lot and, you know, getting our name out there. However, it's a lot more focused on, like I tell my team that they're not necessarily recruitment marketers. The ones who are focused on the client acquisition are really fintech marketers, health tech marketers, green tech, retail tech marketers, because they have to immerse themselves in those kind of sectors so much and really understand every aspect of it that they're, you know, they're just as knowledgeable in that side of things.
They can speak with authority on that rather than the recruitment side of things.
Yeah, definitely. Because obviously at the end of the day, like recruitment, you know, as a recruitment business, we didn't really want to be just saying the same things. There's an element that we have to, because it's the from an SEO point of view, and obviously we want to be capturing those people who are looking for us, but we want to be top of mind for people who are just, you know, focusing on growth of their business, whatever that looks like, whether it's market, like new markets that they're going into or new products that they're diversifying into and things like that. So kind of capturing them at all stages of that, so that they can come to us and say, actually, they're not just experts in, you know, placing talent, they're also experts in how to launch products into new markets and things like that. And, you know, obviously at the end of the day, the best thing to do for all of those people is hire someone to do it. But, you know, being able to talk to them about that side of things is really, really key.
Cool. Everyone's mentioned kind of teams here, team structure. I've probably had a conversation individually with you about it at different times as well. Marketing within recruitment businesses is being taken more seriously at a lot earlier stage than ever before. You know, if I speak with my two ends hat on, I never expected to be speaking to, you know, 5-6 person recruitment businesses who are saying, Glenn, I want to make a marketing hire, or Glenn, I need to do marketing now. That would have never happened, you know, Helena, you probably would know, you've been around as long as me in this space. It seems to be a real shift. But I'd be interested, because if I think about the attendees to this webinar or anyone who's kind of watching it back on the replay, is that have you got triggers, like as individuals or within the business, that triggers you looking at a new hire and or external kind of resource for specialist skills? How do you approach that, especially looking in some ways? I don't like the whole, you know, January 2022, you know, new year, new start type thing and all of that, because I think very naturally in recruitment businesses the roles are fluid. But what if you're looking to plan growth of your team, is there stuff that happens in the business that triggers it? Is it headcount growth, a ratio per consultant, or is it you think, if I hire this person, it's going to generate revenue? Helena, kind of start with you. How what's your thinking when it's planning on kind of like team setup and growth?
It's a bit of both of what you've just said. So, so some growth comes from actually being able to deliver essential marketing services, i.e. commercial marketing manager to come in and deliver bids, proposals, and do market mapping and, you know, key account management marketing, etc. And a digital manager to come in and work on the website project, on portal support, yeah, etc. So you've got those. It's kind of, if I don't have that person, we cannot do those projects. So how important are those projects to the business? What revenue will they generate? What impact will they have on the business? And therefore, can you justify that head? Then you've got your growth headcount, which is, we've literally got another 50 recruiters that need some support. We're going to have to put another marketing person in. So that, with my structure, that's, I've started plugging people in, and I have got plans to plug people in next year based on our growth chart across the business. So for example, our US business is going to be going from 13 to 50, all being well, by June. they're going to need marketing support on the ground with that number of people. So I factored in to have, you know, to have that. And the way I split my team is I've got one part of my team is content and communities. And because obviously we've got all of our amazing community groups like Women in DevOps, Women in Cyber, Ex-Military Careers, Race and Science, etc., which are really active, and obviously all the content that goes with that. And then the commercial side, and then central functions in the middle, which is your digital, your design, etc. So basically, as we get to headcount mass, particularly in new markets outside of our London office, I'll plug somebody in on the commercial side, somebody on the content and community side that report back into those people heading it up from head office here, and just keep expanding it out that way.
I think the key is there is you know exactly what the business is trying to achieve and what the business objectives are. And I think for any marketers who are kind of tuning in and there's a little bit of uncertainty around that, if you don't know growth, etc. I think someone mentioned it earlier, is like, oh yeah, we've opened an office, can you do all this?
And
the conversation.
Yeah, I have worked in that environment, so I do sympathize. Luckily in this environment, you know, marketing have a seat at board, which is me, but you know, that's, I think even before me, that was, you know, there was always that going to be that role there. That's really important. And we have a very clear 5-year strategy. Everybody knows our 5-year strategy. There's no secret. It's very vocal. We've developed all of our impact metrics that we want to deliver with that 5-year strategy. We know what our headcount's going to be. We know where we're going to be and when. It's a very strong leadership team. So that makes my job so much easier because I literally can look at it and go, right, well, if we're doing that, then we're going to do this. And that's, you know, whereas that's not always the case.
I think as a marketer, I think you can probably be a little bit assertive. I saw the message there. I would go around and ask everyone about this, but I want to be able to answer kind of everyone's questions as well. Very quick one, and I think this is going to be a bullhorn full house from Emma Guy there. Which CRM software do you all use? It is bullhorn all the way around, isn't it?
Yeah.
So not much variety there, but I'm sure if you wanted to kind of, I'm sure everyone uses it in a very different way, to be honest, Emma. So I'm sure if you wanted to reach out to Chelsea, Helena or Chris, I know it got to the point with Chris, I was up to his office in a couple of years ago, is that it is everything's bullhorn. You don't have any whiteboards, you have nothing in those offices. But so yeah, definitely that. Ask the panel about one marketing tool that they can't live without. I asked this question in the podcast, but it's not usually a marketing tool. So yeah, let's go round. Let's quickly, what marketing tool can't you live without and why?
Monday.com, which is a relatively recent thing for us, but we just put a bit like we went all in on Bullon for everything with the processes. We go all in on that for absolutely everything now. If it's not on there,
that's great, Chris. I'll have a look at that.
Mega useful.
Next, who wants to go, Chelsea?
This is going to be so boring. I think Excel is probably like my best friend at the moment.
Oh, wow. Make marketing so sound really cool and sexy, Chelsea. Yeah.
Sorry.
go on, Helena.
Mine's probably not much better. I think Buffer, because we've got so many social media, we're on all the social media channels for all the brands. If we didn't have some sort of scheduling tool, I just don't know how we'd be able to manage that. So that's probably my one at the moment.
And this is an interesting one. Budgets. What happens if I'm struggling to get commitment to a proper budget and I'm being asked to get permission for each and every spend? Now, budgets is a funny one. I think generally in recruitment businesses, not very many marketing departments have budgets, or the finance team kind of don't have a line for marketing or advertising, and if they do, it's a dump code. But just my personal opinion before I go to the, you know, the 3 in 3 minutes, it looks like, it's always worth, even if whoever you're reporting to or asking for a budget, say, don't worry about it, just do it for yourself, create that level of accountability for yourself as a budget. But quickly, kind of 1 minute answers from everyone. Chris, budget.
Oh, sorry, you're breaking up there a bit. I don't know what happened. Did it? Was the question today? Do I have a budget?
Yeah. I think that was Louise. Louise.
It was me. Yeah, Chris. Right. Sorry.
Yeah. Do you have a budget?
No, I don't have a set budget, but again, I've got accountability for what we spend and ROI on everything that we do spend. And then I think my answer to that question would just be like, prove it. Like, if you're struggling to get committed to a proper budget, get a bit, make it work, demonstrate that it's worked, and then you struggle to find an argument against
it. Trials and tests. Take the time
to build the business case.
Yeah, you've got to do a trial and a test. And what I've always done it, so I'll choose, you know, one team or one brand in one location or something like that. And then just to set and work out what does good look like? What are you trying to achieve with this? You know, look at what ROI you'd be expecting if it's that kind of thing you're looking at. Because you're not going to get sign off otherwise.
Chelsea? Yeah, I actually do have a budget, but our plans change every 6 months. So the budget changes every 6 months. exactly what you just said there, like, make it work, like, cool. Use what you can do, whatever you can get signed off, prove that it works, and then they don't have any reason to say no that next time.
I reckon we can get Eleanor's question in, Louise. Yeah, so really quickly, so how do you see recruitment marketing next year? What should a recruitment company focus on? There you go. If you had to focus on one thing, any of you, and you had to get rid of everything else, what would you be focusing on in 2022?
Content. So it was content.
Content.
Me.
I was going to say content as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say the audience. So yeah, content. Same thing. Yeah.
Add value. One thing, focus on the content, but take a step back and actually go out and ask your audience what they want to consume. Take a little bit of time to pick up the phone, send emails, send surveys, get all that in place, take all the assumptions out of it, and that can give you a lot clearer direction for next year.